And welcome to another episode of Dear Jane. I'm Scott Baker, and she is Marcy Little. Marcy, how are you?
I'm great.
It is a good time of year to sort of start talking about other things going on out there in the pro-life movement. One of the big things that I know both of us are very passionate about is pregnancy help centers or pregnancy resource centers in the work that they do and sort of helping them push back against all the nonsense that they deal with all the time.
So much nonsense from the media, from local legislators. It's crazy, you guys, how much they face when their literal missions are to help women.
Yeah. I mean, if you're not aware of, in some states, state legislatures are really, they're trying to put them out of business, and they're getting more and more creative in how they do that. Mm-hmm. You've got, some cities, you have zoning laws where they're trying to say, nope, can't be here. We've got some state legislation that really prohibits what registered doctors and nurses can say within a pregnancy center, how they can advertise. I mean, on and on and on. It is really bad. So today we're going to talk about the benefits of pregnancy centers getting together to collaborate and what might be able to be accomplished with that. But before we do, let's hear a word from our sponsor, Choose Life Express.
Choose Life Express exists to serve you as a pregnancy center. So let's say you have a last minute event coming up, or maybe you are planning for an event, but your budget is tight and you just need ready-made resources to help advertise the event. Or let's say you are sending out regular updates to your donors and you want an inspiring story to share with them, or a video to explain the current political climate that we're in and how that's impacting you. Choose Life Express has you covered. Rather than you having to pay for a full video production to get your message out there, Choose Life Express knows and loves pregnancy centers and has a whole library of videos ready for you to just download and use without having to pay the hefty production fees that you may or may not have the budget for. So check out our friends, Choose Life Express, ChooseLifeExpress.com, to browse their library of videos and other resources to plug into your marketing plan today.
The benefits of PRC collaboration. We visit with Sean Zirke, who is the CEO and executive director for the National Association of State Pregnancy Wellness Coalitions, and Sarah Bowen, who is in Pennsylvania, part of the Pennsylvania Pregnancy Wellness Collaborative there. We talk about that today here on Dear Jane. Sean, Sarah, thank you very much for joining us here today. Wanted to talk about PRCs, Pregnancy Resource Centers, and sort of how the landscape is changing for them a little bit, at least in terms of collaboration and things like that. Sarah, let's start with you. Let's talk a little bit about how the sentiment among PRCs is changing in recent years when it comes to engaging with elected officials and things like that.
Yeah, absolutely. So thanks so much for having me. Super excited to be here. It's great to hang out with you guys, even if it's just virtual. But yeah, so it was really interesting. So when we founded the Pennsylvania Pregnancy Wellness Collaborative, which is the coalition of pregnancy centers in Pennsylvania, our fear was that no one would want to join, which is probably any fear that anyone has starting anything, right? You're like, we want to have this cool club. What if none of the other kids want to play with us? Our fear really was rooted in this idea that we've all been kind of conditioned over decades. Like, don't get involved with politics. You don't need to do that. Like, just focus on serving women. And that's a little bit of an overgeneralization, but there's just been this fear among pregnancy centers of like, what if I say the wrong thing? What if I make it worse? What if I do the wrong thing? I don't have time. And so when we launched it, we were like, man, we could have a lot of people kind of pushing back on this idea of even getting involved and talking to legislators and talking about what pregnancy centers do. And we were pleasantly surprised that was not an issue. I think that it's very clear with everything going on in Pennsylvania, pregnancy centers have lost their Real Alternatives funding, which didn't affect all of us, but certainly affected some of us. We also are dealing with a governor that's very anti-pregnancy center, very pro-Planned Parenthood, and this is the second one in a row that we've had that happen with, and just some of the other things that are happening at our state level are concerning. And so I think it's really helped pregnancy centers understand, you know what, no, we do need to be involved and engaged. We do need to be communicating with our reps, whether they're friendly or not. And we need to make sure that they understand that pregnancy centers are really good for our communities. So it's definitely changed, and I think it's changed for the better. And it really was great when we did our day of advocacy to see how many pregnancy centers came out and how many were willing to engage with representatives. And I feel I cheat a little bit. I feel like I'm cheating because I live in the western part of the state and all of our representatives are very pro-life and they're very pro-pregnancy center. In fact, one of our representatives, Marla Brown, used to run a pregnancy center down south. And so I'm like encouraging everyone to like talk to their legislators that may not be as friendly, but I'm also like understanding that I don't have that challenge. And so I even offered, I was like, hey, all of our reps are great. I don't necessarily need to see them today. If you want, I'm happy to like go along with you and meet with your representatives with you and be part of that. And no one needed me. They were like, no, we're good. We've got this. And they had little like gift bags and they had information and they went around and visited people. And it's been really good here to see that level of involvement.
That's great. Sean, could you speak? So I realize there are probably people listening to this who don't understand why pregnancy centers wouldn't want to talk to their legislators. It seems like most nonprofits want their legislators to know what's going on so they can support or provide assistance in whatever way possible. Can you speak some to the history there, like why pregnancy centers don't want to and maybe why some are still hesitant to do that today?
Sure. Thank you both for inviting me on here. It's been a while since I've been asked to talk about this type of involvement for pregnancy centers, even though I work with the National Association of State Pregnancy Wellness Coalitions and I've formed state coalitions. And when they say, well, why would we want to form a coalition? The reason that you have to convince them is because there are other groups advising pregnancy centers, telling them to stay far away from state, federal, you know, fly under the radar. And the problem is that, you know, the other side is counting on that fear. And why did we get into this? Why did we get into this world of fighting for women and babies and families? Because we're warriors. We're protective mamas and fathers. There are amazing men running pregnancy help organizations. And so why would you want to be involved? What do you tell your state legislator? Well, you start with inviting them into a pregnancy center. They've most likely never been into a pregnancy center. In fact, out of the 250, 500, 800, 1600 people that you may have in one night or two night of your gala, I will guarantee you that maybe a handful of them have actually walked into your pregnancy center. They're only imagining what you do from what you tell them at the gala or you send them in a newsletter. They don't know when they walk in that you're predominantly a specialty, and mostly a medical specialty of decision support for women. That is a niche service that is diagnostic. You know, you are telling them whether they're pregnant or not. You're diagnosing it with a pregnancy test and an ultrasound. That's diagnostic. You're a medical clinic. So we get away from calling them pregnancy resource centers anymore because no longer are we simply giving them pamphlets and diapers, which we have always done. But we are giving them decision support in a very critical moment in their life and connecting them to answers to all those barriers for parenting, right? And so having a pregnancy center invite your state lawmakers, your mayor, your school board members, you got to start where you know people, where you have skin in the game locally, and then who do they know? Every one of your pastors should that is in your area, whether their church itself is supporting you or congregants are supporting you, they need to at least be invited and encouraged to walk through your center. 7 a.m. coffee, 7:30 p.m. dessert and decaf, whatever you want to do creatively, a Saturday morning vision event at a local church or parish, and you just tell them what you do.
And honestly, that I've invited so many people that aren't pro-life or don't like pregnancy centers or do like pregnancy centers but don't know what we do. And the events are great, but if that's overwhelming, just like run the vacuum and invite them over. You know, I mean, you don't have to. I think that sometimes like we get tied up in like, oh, we have to schedule a time and then we have to invite everyone and we have to make it super special. And I'm like, no, just, hey, when are you free? Like, why don't you stop by 10 a.m. before our clients get here, or 9 a.m. before our clients get here, and I'll show you around and tell you what we do. And I do those. I probably do tours multiple times a week with people, and it makes an incredible difference, regardless of their political affiliation.
Well, so, Sarah, I wanted to chase that down a little bit with you, because you mentioned, you know, how all the lawmakers in your area are friendlies, but that it is important to reach out to those who may not be. That can really be a daunting challenge for people hearing that. You've got some experience doing that. Why is that important, and how best to go about doing that?
Well, I would say it's important for both. So even if your lawmakers are friendly and pro-life, still invite them. It's less stressful in a lot of ways, because you know that they like you and you know that they're going to be positive when they come, but they still need to see what you do and understand it, because they might be really pro-life. They might even be really supportive of pregnancy centers, but they won't really understand it until they actually show up and walk around. But yeah, you're right. Inviting those individuals who don't like pregnancy centers or don't know how to feel is also really important for a couple reasons. The first is we're not terrifying. Pregnancy centers are actually really nice. It's one of our hallmarks. And so my friend Brooke, who's also on our board, invited some individuals who really don't like pregnancy centers to come tour her center, and they were as nervous as the center was. You know, they've been told all these awful things about pregnancy centers and how we're lying to women and tricking women and doing, and they're thinking, oh my goodness, what am I walking into? And then they do the tour and they're like, oh wow, like you guys are actually really nice. They're like, yeah, we kind of are. And so even though those individuals are likely not going to suddenly become pro-life, although we would love that, it is good for them to see that pregnancy centers are really about providing options and information and resources, so that when an anti-pregnancy center piece of legislation comes across their desks, they're not thinking about it in terms of this big, bad, you know, pregnancy center network that's out there tricking women. They're thinking, oh, wait, no, I've been there. This doesn't seem right. This doesn't seem accurate. And it also gives them someone that they should feel comfortable reaching out to say, you know, this is concerning. Let's call Brooke. Let's call Sarah. Let's call John. Let's call someone and see what's going on and ask those questions. The reality is that pregnancy centers are providing services in health deserts. We're providing medical services for free. Most of us are not getting funding from the state or the federal government. And so all of those free services for their constituents are not hurting the state and federal budget. And so they really should like us. And I think we're pretty likable. And so bringing someone in and just showing them around, and it can feel overwhelming. Like, what if they don't like us? What if I say the wrong thing? But if you just talk about what you do, your passion's going to shine through, and they're going to see that you're well run and that you're there to care for women, and things, I mean, generally speaking, things work out really well. I've given a lot of people who don't like pregnancy centers tours of our center, and I've never had anyone leave angry or upset or try to like burn us later. They usually kind of are like, oh, you know, I still don't necessarily agree. You know, I'm still pro-abortion, or I still think, you know, that women need that as an option. But I can agree that you're doing good work and you're helping women, and that that's good and that's necessary.
Can I just jump in here really quick? So I completely agree with everything Sarah's saying. And to finish what I was getting to as far as you inviting people in that have never been to your pregnancy center, the reason that you start there is because that's what you can do as a 501c3, is just make friends. And when we're talking about state coalitions like the PPWC or Life Resources of Georgia or the COPCA, which is the Colorado Pregnancy Care Alliance, depending on what the politics are in your state, you may need to be in a 501c6 versus a 501c3 coalition because it serves different purposes. But under that umbrella, you can do even more than just inviting them in and having coffee. You can then collectively show up at the Capitol and say, no, we're advising all of you in our district, or we are influencing our lawmakers about policy collectively under that umbrella of a coalition. And one, it shows that you're not just one passionate director of a pregnancy center, you represent all of their constituents, and you want to know those numbers. You want to throw those out to the lawmakers of, hey, we cover 7 counties, and in that county, you have this many voters, this many registered Republicans, this many registered Democrats, this many independents. You want to know that information. The other thing that groups like the 501c3 Life Resources of Georgia is a great example, or Missouri Alliance for Life, in that they can advise on compliance issues for the state to keep you compliant so that there aren't any weak spots in your operations that the other side might come along and say, hey, this isn't compliant. You say you're this, but you're not doing this. But then if you're a 501c6, you can do even more. Like PPWC, one of the brilliant things that one of their board members had someone do was start to create a list of all of the healthcare violations in the abortion facilities in their state. And so you can go to their website and see all of those things listed. That's brilliant. You're giving talking points. You're showing, especially if you're using marketing to direct people to that collective piece of information when they put in Planned Parenthood and all the violations come up at the top of that search engine. Oh, brilliant. That would be awesome. I mean, there's so many things that state coalitions can do together. But again, just like Sarah was saying, as an individual pregnancy center, you should not be afraid to be involved politically in creating relationships. There's no harm in inviting somebody over and opening the door. And then, like, you've had Monica Snyder on with Secular Pro-Life. She and I did a session at a conference talking about, okay, so you get in front of some people that may not be pro-life. How do you have that conversation? How do you find common ground? And so there are amazing resources out there. I suggest that the listeners start looking for them, because that will help them. They should not be afraid to be fighting against these amendments that are coming in these states right now. That is their role. As much as it is to manage their staff and have conversations with their donors, they need to be advocating for or against any of this legislation that it will help or harm the women that they choose to serve.
Yeah, I saw that here in Colorado. I think before the Pregnancy Care Alliance had founded, but our state legislators were debating legislation that would limit what pregnancy centers can say and how they can advertise, and also ban abortion pill reversal. And even the staunchest, most pro-life legislators who were out there trying to advocate for pregnancy centers had never been to one. They had, all they're hearing are random things about pregnancy centers, or talking about maybe their understanding of pregnancy centers from 20 years ago, but none of their information was up to date. So we were trying to get that to them. But I just thought, man, if even the pro-life ones are not engaged in what pregnancy centers are doing, that's a huge missed opportunity. For people who are in the pregnancy center movement that may be listening, what are some of the first steps to forming a coalition? Kind of talk to us about that a little bit.
So the first step is to get at least, and my recommendation is 4 or 5 pregnancy center directors together that are willing to be their founding board members. And once you do that, you, I mean, step by step, you go to your state secretary of state, you make sure everybody's name and address and phone number is available, and you incorporate in your state. They usually have a pre-formed articles of incorporation. Pennsylvania is a little tricky, to be quite frank. They're the only state that requires you to post in a legal journal and a newspaper for 30 days before they will grant you your incorporation status at the state level. And so, and they have to be called a collaborative. So I have been doing this across many, many states, and I can tell you there are variations. But once you get incorporated and pay your $25, $50, $150, $600, whatever it is, then you get an EIN that takes less than 5 minutes on the IRS website. And then for me, I provide them with templates for their founding documents, their bylaws and their conflict of interest and their whistleblower and all those things. And then you, once you start putting that together and finalizing your governance, you know, are you going to do regional? How many board members do you want? Those types of things. Who can be a member? Because as a 501c6, you're basically a professional group of professional people, so of a type of business. And so you have to decide what business. Are you going to have maternity homes, adoption center or adoption agencies, just pregnancy centers? Some states are even, we're even looking at, well, only pregnancy help medical clinics, which I definitely have my opinions on who should be included. But, you know, the states are governing themselves, so they have to own whatever they decide. And then once you do that, you figure out a list of all the pregnancy centers in your state, and you decide, how do we want to have a dues structure if we're a 501c6? If you're a 501c4 or c3, you might have a different way of raising funds to carry out your initiatives. I will say the majority of states stratify their members by gross annual revenue. And so I usually put together that list for them of, you know, what was their most recent gross revenue minus earmarked funds or capital campaigns. And then you can put together a provisional 3-year budget. You file your 1024 with the IRS. That's currently still $600. And you wait for your tax exempt status letter to come from the IRS, and then you're good to go. And organizations like Choose Life Marketing, just Choose Life Marketing, partners with the ones that I help, and they create their initial web page. And they build out from there according to their desire and capability. And so they start having meetings according to what their bylaws state. They set their bylaws also set their initiatives. What are they focused on? What do they want to accomplish in their first year? And they march it out. The cool thing is that these are leaders of nonprofit organizations. And so they understand governance and nonprofit and setting strategy, you would hope, and setting those goals. And so that's really it in a nutshell.
Sarah, let's talk about what's possible when centers do collaborate. You guys have been at it now in Pennsylvania, what, about 2 years, roughly, give or take?
A little over a year, a year and a half.
Yeah, that's what I said, a little over a year. So how's it going? What is possible when it comes to collaboration, not only in the legislative space, but even beyond that?
Yeah, and it is a lot bigger than that. I mean, that's important, but there's other stuff too. So we've had two summits specific to Pennsylvania, which is great. Just one day events where people can come, and we're not trying to recreate what the national affiliates do. We want to talk about Pennsylvania, and we want to provide skills specific to what we want people to do. So if we want people to talk to legislators, let's talk about that. Let's do the instruction. Let's talk about what's happening legislatively in our state, those kinds of things. We've also had a, we had a day of advocacy in Harrisburg where we did a press conference with clients present, their babies present, center leaders and staff. And I spoke to the press, which was very intimidating, but it went really well. And we had some of our legislators that are supportive of us speak as well. And then the team members were able to go around and talk to their specific legislators in Harrisburg. And we hope to make that an annual event. Just recently, we had the Pennsylvania March for Life, and so Pennsylvania pregnancy centers were represented there, and we were all up on stage and able to show kind of like our pro-life community, like this is who we are and this is what we do for women. So there's a lot of those kind of public front-facing things that are really important that are easier to do if you have a coalition, but there's other things as well. And honestly, I'm kind of like a sky's the limit kind of person. There's a lot of things that we want to do that we haven't had the chance to do yet because we are still fairly new, but we send e-blasts, we bring people together for webinars and other like informational events so that they can be part of that. We're part of a nationwide diaper drive, and so diapers are being mailed to two of our board members' locations, and people are able to pick them up there. We were able to do a webinar with Her Plan with Charlotte Lozier and talk about the Pennsylvania state resources. There's a lot of opportunity for collaboration and unity and working together and making things happen. And then there's things that we haven't had a chance to touch on yet. So we are just now starting into advertising together with Choose Life Marketing. So we're working on scheduling a meeting to get all of the interested parties together for that right now. And then we're also looking into some other things that we could do at the state level that could just make things a lot simpler for pregnancy centers. So there's a lot of opportunity, and I think it's really important to look at your state and say, what does our state need? What are our particular challenges? What are our particular kind of pain points? And how can a coalition help address those, ease those, make those things a little bit easier for pregnancy centers?
I'm curious because I think this is maybe as obvious to those of us who are deeply entrenched in the pro-life movement, but maybe someone is listening and they think, gosh, why is all of this necessary? Sarah, can you speak to why pregnancy centers are so targeted by the other side and why the other side is so obsessed with pregnancy centers?
I can try. So honestly, at its core, it baffles me a little bit. So there's essentially we'll break it down to two types of pregnancy centers. There's pregnancy medical centers and there's pregnancy resource centers. And so pregnancy medical centers typically provide ultrasounds. They provide pregnancy testing. They often provide STD testing and treatment. Sometimes they provide well women exams. Nationwide, there's even centers that provide prenatal care or whatever. It really depends on what the community needs. And then there's pregnancy resource centers that are non-medical that provide help with diapers, baby clothes, information about options, and information about resources. And medical centers provide those non-medical things as well, most often. Pregnancy centers are almost exclusively governed locally. So there are some bigger cohorts that have locations across state lines or even across an entire state. But most pregnancy centers are governed locally with one or two or three offices. Once you get above three, it's actually pretty unusual, I would say, or at least not as common. So given all of that, you might be thinking, who would not like that? Like, that sounds awesome. Free services, free medical care. But it comes down to this problem that abortion is sort of a sacred cow in our society. And it's not that... and I truly believe that it's not just about having the option, but they want everyone to kind of be in lockstep as far as our beliefs, our recommendations, and what we offer to people. The other issue with abortion is it's very cash focused. So abortion is largely a cash-based service. You're either getting the money directly from the person who's procuring the abortion or you're getting it from insurance companies, but it's a lot of money. And then those abortion providers will often lobby using that money or other money and get people that support them in office or in positions of power. And so pregnancy centers, by offering options and when women choose life, are essentially hurting the bottom line. So then we have this rhetoric that goes out about how pregnancy centers are fake and we're tricking women into having babies they don't want. And we're trying to sort of pull the wool over people's eyes. And it's not accurate. But when your bottom line is being threatened, you know, you could very potentially, you know, be willing to say or do things that are not accurate in order to protect yourself and protect what is at its core a business. So it's a very long answer, but I think that the real root of it is an ideological difference. Pregnancy centers do not recommend abortion. We don't refer for abortion. We certainly don't provide abortions. Instead, we encourage women to choose life. At the end of the day, their choice is theirs. We provide options. We provide information. We provide resources. We provide referrals, and we help them think through their choice, their options that are in front of them, right? The choice that they have, and think through their situation. And when you give someone that kind of freedom, they usually choose life.
Sean, at the end of the day, it sounds like this is really a matter of pregnancy centers transitioning from being reactive to more proactive.
Yeah, it is. And part of being proactive is, instead of hiding and doing the good work that they do in their centers or their clinics, they need to start educating the public. So one, when that ballot amendment was coming across Ohio and the exit polls were coming out, one of the key insights was that we need more stories. We need our side out there. And so, as you know, coming from the marketing background, spin is everything. And if you have the airways, you have the attention and you have the narrative. We need to control the narrative. And so a great example of these straw man arguments that are nothing arguments that are coming across, one of the ones that the PPWC and other states have been facing has been, why are you telling people you're HIPAA compliant? Well, because we are. And just because we may not bill for insurance, so we wouldn't be a technical covered entity, the rules have changed. And we are transmitting protected health information for the purpose of referral of care and a diagnosis of pregnancy. So we're transmitting medical records. So we absolutely need to attain and maintain the highest standards of patient safety of their information. So yeah, while we don't have to be, we absolutely are HIPAA compliant, and we're going to tell the world we are. So we're not falling for that straw man argument. I think that pregnancy centers need to do a better job getting the narrative to change, getting the information out, the stories out in front of the world. And you can start with the low-hanging fruit. The churches in the area need to know the stories of the women you're helping. You need to have as many people walking through your center, regardless of their position, as you can get them through. And showing them that you're a real clinic, that you have real policies, that you are making diagnoses of pregnancy and often STD, and I'm providing early prenatal care, and many of them are providing doula services. By the way, Medicaid loves to pay for doula services. Lactation assistance, all of those things we provide as a industry. And that's the information that needs to get out there.
Certainly a lot of strong arguments to be made for pregnancy centers to sort of come out of the shadows and begin. I love what you said, sort of telling their stories. Let's make sure we get the websites in if people want to learn more. Sarah, we'll start with you. What's the PPWC website?
So it's papregnancy.com. We're actually currently overhauling it. Not overhauling it. That's probably a strong word. But we set it up originally with Choose Life Marketing, which was great. And we just need to kind of take a look at it and make it a little bit more usable for us. We're adding a members only section. And then we're also going to add some ways for us to do some legislative updates that are a little bit smoother than what we're doing right now. It's a lot harder to start a collaborative than I thought it was, which is kind of like the famous last words of like, yeah, how hard can that be? And so it is taking us a little bit longer than I thought to kind of get stuff up and running. But yeah, papregnancy.com is where they can go and they can check us out.
And what's the national site, Sean?
It is NASPWC.org, the National Association of State Wellness Pregnancy Coalitions. I know it's a long name, but you know, it tells people what we are.
It rolls right off the tongue. Sean, Sarah, thank you very much for joining us here today on Dear Jane. We appreciate it.
Thanks so much for having us.
Thanks again for listening to Dear Jane.
You can follow along every day on social media. We're on Facebook, Instagram, and X. And make sure you also are subscribed so you never miss an episode on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, as well as YouTube. Ring that bell so you're notified and you never miss an episode.